Thank you, Wanda. Good morning, church. It is great to see you as we gather in the house of the Lord today to give worship and praise, thanksgiving to Lord and Savior Jesus. And what a special occasion it is, as you see all the paperwork. I see stoles. There are all kinds of things on the prayer rails this morning. It's going to be an exciting service ahead. So grateful that you're here. I invite you to stand and to greet those neighbors standing next to you this morning, passing the peace of Christ. Christ be with you. It is great to gather this morning to worship together and to welcome those who may be at home this morning watching by video. We're grateful to have you and to have you worship with us today also. It is a special day. I invite you to join me as we remain standing. This is going to be a pretty wonderful opening here for our call to worship this morning. Will you join me responsively? And we'll see who joins us for worship today. Who is the cornerstone of our faith? Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. Who is our shepherd in these dark days? Jesus Christ is our shepherd of life. Who can save us from this world of suffering and sin? Jesus saves us. Jesus, our Savior. Thank you. Join me in our opening hymn this morning, hymn number 57, Oh for a Thousand Tongues. Sing out with me.
Morning, we come with the spirit of prayer as we go before our Heavenly Father to pray for all the concerns that have been spoken in our week and those that have been unspoken. So let us, as believers and loved ones in the body of Christ, Let us go to God's throne for prayer. Most gracious and loving God, we come giving you joyful praise this morning, thanking you for your safety, your guidance, and your prevenient grace that covers us. Thanking you for your mercies that have awoken us this morning and your grace that has guided us on our way. Thanking you for another day to open our eyes and see the beauty of your creation. We give you thanks on this Confirmation Sunday, where our confirmands are coming to confirm and proclaim their faith and their belief in you, God. We rejoice with them on this day, dear Lord, as they are our future of the kingdom and of the church. As we come this morning, dear Lord, we pray for our nation, our countries at war. We pray for our communities that are in need. We pray for those that have fallen out of the body of faith, dear Lord. We call upon your Holy Spirit to encompass us, to fall upon us, to be with us, to open our hearts as we worship together, as we pray together, that we will be ever so mindful to hear your voice speaking to us, comforting us, guiding us among the week that you have provided for us. As we come before you this morning, most gracious God, we pray for our pastor as he will come before us to speak your word, dear Lord. We pray for each and every person under the sound of my voice, dear Lord, that they will be open and receptive to the word that will be given, dear Lord. I pray for our church and our churches, dear Lord, that are all open and praising your name on this day. Let us praise you, dear Lord, in honesty, in truth, in love and grace and mercy for our sisters and brothers. As we come to pray today, the way that you have taught us to pray boldly and with thanksgiving, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to invite our children to come down for children's moment with me this morning. Guys, go. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I knew we had some children here with us today. It's so good to see you guys. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'm so thankful to have you all here this morning, and I hope that your Sunday mornings are starting off to be really good. Well, as you know, we've been talking about the big L word, love, and we're talking about how important that is as children of God. And in today's scripture in Big Church, we're talking about how God calls us to love with action. It's one thing to love one another, right? But sometimes, well, not sometimes, all the time, God calls us to put our love into action. That means we make our love come alive. So the question is, how do we show our love to others? Well, I have a few things here that I'm going to show you guys, because this is how others have shown their love to me through the body of Christ, and I know that so many have shown their love to you. We have so many ways that we can show our love for each other. I know you can see it. We can give flowers. Yeah, these are not real, but they're still pretty. We can give flowers as a way to show that we love others, you know? And cards. Cards are still one of my favorite things to receive. And someone from church gave me this card a couple of weeks ago that says, Here for you. It meant the world to me to remind me that I was loved. And then another thing that we can use to show that we love each other, the clock means that we have time, right? We can spend time with each other. We can spend time praying with others, listening to others, and letting others know that we're their friends and that we love them and we're here. And you know why we show our love in action? Because Christ shows his love in action to us. And the cross is a reminder that Christ died on the cross for our sins, all because he loves us. So if Christ shows us that he loves us, then that means that we go out and we show others that we love them, right? Absolutely. So this week, we're going to pray that God will help us love in action. So let's bow our hands, get our praying hands together, and bow our heads. Most gracious God, we thank you for our children. We love them so much. We pray that as the church that we will continue to show them what Christ's love is like by our actions and all that we do by keeping you as the head of our life. In Christ's name we pray, let us all say amen. You guys go and enjoy children's church. Thank you. That's good. I'm going to tell you later.
Another way we express our love is through our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings to the Lord, to His church, to the communities of the world, starting in our very own. Let us go to God in prayer in these moments as we bless the offering. Lord, thank you for the freedom to come to worship you today. Thank you that we know every good and perfect gift comes from you. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. All that we have comes from you. Thank you for your generosity, Lord. Thank you for your grace abundant. And thank you, God, just for the privilege to give in return of that which you've given to us through our gifts, through our tithes, through our offerings. May you bless them. Lord, may you even increase them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
invite you all to remain standing for the reading of the word. This comes out of 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, pay attention to this part, not in word or speech, but in truth and in action. And by this we will know that we are of the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our own hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God. And we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, and by the Spirit he has given us. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are we feeling? Good? Wonderful. Hey, we got a big day today. This is a big day in the life of the church. We've got Confirmation Sunday. We've got, you said 16? 16 kids that are going to be confirmed and joining our church. It's a big deal. Huge deal. It's a scary day for Bill because they're letting the youth pastor speak. Bill said, no, it's okay. So the title of the sermon today is To Love Without Words. And so, obviously, we're focusing on 1 John 3, 16 through 18, really, and primarily verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And so, in context to Confirmation Sunday, with looking at these young folks that we have right there, how do we love these young people without words? How do we encourage this next generation without words? What are we to do? What is our role in doing that? And before we answer that question, I want to reference one other piece of scripture to see if it can help us figure out what we're supposed to do. And that's Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. So how do we love these young people? How do we love this next generation without words? We love them by surrounding them. We love them by being an example for them. We love them by being a great cloud of witnesses for them. It's our duty, the church's duty, believers' duty, to lead the way and to set the example of how to navigate this life that we live and still fix our eyes on Jesus, who we say is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. We've got to give them something to look ahead at. We've got to give them people to look ahead at on this race to show them how to do this, how to handle difficult things. And so as we're talking through that this morning, it presents us with a challenge and also a question. This is a challenging thing for us because it asks a lot of us. If we're going to do this and do this well, it means that we've got to be the people that we were created to be at all times. It means that we're going to have to lead with love. It means that we have to choose grace and mercy and faithfulness, even when it's really difficult. We are the ones that teach this next generation how to be followers of Christ. We're the ones who show the next generation how to walk through conflict. We're the ones that show people how to be men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ. That duty falls on us. And so the question that gives us is why? Why should we do that? Why should we invest in this next generation? And I'm not just talking about the 16. I'm talking about anybody that's younger than us. Why should we invest in that next generation? Why should we give our time and money and effort in doing that? Why should we invest in our young people and choose to love them by setting the example? And there's really, it's a three-part answer to that we're going to look through today. The three things is that the church needs it, the kids need it, and God commands us to do that. So the first thing that we're going to look at today is that the church needs it. One of my buddies and I have been reading through Acts, Philippians, and 1st and 2nd Timothy recently. And as we were reading through 2nd Timothy, something really stood out to me as I was preparing to talk to you guys today. As you read through 2nd Timothy, you get the last words in the last epistle of Paul. We're watching Paul as he's really preparing for the end of his journey, the end of his mission work, the end of his life, honestly. And as he writes, there's something that I think is very noteworthy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's writing to a young Timothy, who's his protege. And he says, "Do your best to come see me soon. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful for me in ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." And then later on, he says that his departure is at hand. And so do you see what's happening at this point? Paul is at the end of his life in prison, but his ministry that he's been working on for years and years and years is not shrinking. The ministry that he has put everything into for the last several years is expanding. At this point, he's got ministry on 5 different fronts. And so something I think is notable for us to say and to hear is that our hope, obviously, is very similarly to Paul, is in heaven. Our hope is in eternity, but the hope and the future of our church is sitting on the front row. I'll include you in that, Pam. Thankfully, we don't have to trust Mary Tanner McKeithen for our salvation, but she, along with all of her other little buddies that are sitting over there, those are the people in whom we're resting the heavy weight of the church on. Those are the people who are up next. There's going to be a day sooner than later that they're going to be the ones that are standing up here doing the same jobs that you see us doing right now. And so don't we want to equip them to do that job the best that they can? Paul had ministry on 5 different fronts at this point, all across the area. And so imagine what we could have. Imagine the ends of the earth that we could reach if we really did this well, if we really invested so strongly in all of this upcoming next generation. Imagine the impact that we could have across the earth. And so the first thing is that the church needs this, but our church needs it. Our church needs us to be setting an example for the next generation. So the second point is that the kids need it. I'm going to tell you 3 very quick stories, and there's a couple pictures that Michael's going to put up there for you. All right. What sweet little pictures, right? All right, so if you look far on the left, there's a guy named David Boyd. I met him when I was sneaking into youth ministry at 5th grade. I was like sneaking in with one of my buddies because he had to be 6th grade, but we were not going to go to children's ministry. We refused to do it. And so David was my hero growing up. David was somebody who was there for me. He believed in me. He encouraged me. He taught me. I know Jesus because David existed. I did not grow up in church. Because David was David in my life, I now am Zach right now. The far right, she didn't know I was doing this, and she's hidden somewhere up here. But Cynthia Rose, she picked up right where David left off. She has been, I really, truly cannot tell you how influential Miss Cynthia has been in my life. She challenges me. God, does she challenge me. Really, she pushes me really hard. She reminds me of truth. She encourages me. She's always has been one of my first calls, and she will always be one of my first calls. Unless I'm broken down on the side of the interstate. Don't call her. Call somebody else. If you want to know that story, you can ask her because I'm too hurt to tell it. And then I'm going to tell you very quickly about the guy in the middle. His name's Jacob Tom. He's one of my favorite people in the world. He is, in my notes, the very first thing I have next to his name is knucklehead. He's a knucklehead. He also did not really grow up in church. He was living young, wild, and free. He was not really doing the things that he was supposed to be doing. But he had a lot of people in his life that really were trying to encourage him, trying to point him in the right direction. Everything came to a head. He had a big event happen in his life. And then he decided, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to jump in. And that picture right there is at his baptism last summer. And I want to say, that's me right there, but that's also a Christian from City Hope. There's all kind of people that stepped in and that were really active in his life. And it's radically changed his life. He was baptized. He's involved in the church. He runs a podcast now. Big stuff happens when we decide to be the people that we are called to be in the life of young people. And it doesn't just have to be young people. I was not 11 when Miss Cynthia met me. I was 19. That's still young, obviously. But it doesn't have to just be the little ones. There's all kind of people that need other people to look at ahead on the race. And so we look back at Timothy and Paul. Young Timothy would have been a rebellious son of an absent father. But because Paul and other men came into his life, he became the co-author of some of the epistles and the pastor of one of the most influential churches in the first century. Young Zach was an unchurched kid who did not have any direction. He really, truly did not have much hope. And now I've been working at our church for 11 years. It's a big things happen because of that. Younger Jacob, like I said, was living young, wild, and free. Now he's a leader in the youth group at our church, at your church. And he runs a podcast that shares the gospel all over. The next generation needs people to lead. They need us to take what God has imparted to us and to entrust that in the next generation. They need us to come together and do this. Timothy's need Paul's, like Zach's needed David's, and still needs Cynthia's. The same way that Zach's needed Woodbine United Methodist Church growing up, there's a lot of Jacobs out there that need Spanish Fort United Methodist Church. The final thing is God commands it. In 2 Timothy 2, this is chapter 2, verse 2, it tells us that we're called to take what we've heard and entrust it to faithful men who will be able to teach it to others also. The gospel is never meant to stop with us. This story that's been written and going on for thousands and thousands of years was not written to stop right here with our generation. We've got to do whatever it takes to make sure that it keeps going. We've got to take what we know, and we've got to give it to the next people. Ladies, you've got a specific command in the book of Titus. It says, older women train the younger women. It's his word, it's not my word. I would never say older women. The prayer of the old man, not to be confused with Bill's offering earlier, is found in Psalm 71, verse 18. It says, even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might into the next generation, all your power to all of those who come. God has commanded us to do this. He's given us this gift of the gospel to share. He's given us this so that we can do that to the next people. And so as we close with this, and as we get ready to celebrate the confirmants, I've got two things that I want us to reflect on. I've got two questions that I want you to really stew on as you go home today and to think about. The first one, or the first set of questions is, who is somebody that has helped you on your journey? If you really think back in your life, who was Paul, or who was David, or who was Cynthia? Who was Christian Pazierno from City Hope? Who was that in your life? Because there was somebody. You're sitting here because somebody decided that you were worth hearing the gospel. The gospel is good enough that even if you were that knucklehead like I was, like Jacob was, you're worth it. So who was that in your life? And the second thing that I really want you to consider is who can be Timothy or Zach or Jacob in your life? Who is somebody that is younger than you that you really feel like you can pour back into? Who's somebody that you can encourage and be someone that they can look at as they go on with this? I'm going to pray for us in 1 second, but I want to read this prompt from the confirmation service from the handout that you have. It says, and you don't be crazy and respond yet. That happens just a little bit. It says, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in care? And what you will say is, with God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons in a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to eternal life. My big question to you guys as you say that is, do you mean it? As you say that, do you mean it? And if we mean it as a church, Let's do it. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. God, you've given us so much to celebrate today, such a great and wonderful day in the life of the church. And Father, I just pray that you will help us be the church that you've asked us to be. God, I pray that you will help us just really encourage and uplift these young people, that you will help us be a church that just stands tall and stands right here on the hill that you've given us by the Spirit, by the bay of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Let us be bright and shining your light. Be the people that you've created us to be and that you've asked us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
At this time, we're going to invite our confirmation mentors to come down to join me and Pastor Bill. We have had the joy of having our confirmation mentors serve in a capacity that has been so important to our confirmands. They have walked with them through this journey, prayed with them through this journey for the last 6 weeks, and they have truly been available for their needs that they have had. We have had an enjoyable class of 16, and they have been faithful and they have been committed. But that has started with the wonderful mentors that we have. So this morning, we want to recognize the calling that they have in Christ and the love that they brought to our confirmands in great appreciation. We have provided a certificate for them and a Bible that will help them follow along, a devotional that will help them follow along in their Bible along with a one-year Bible study plan. We are truly grateful for your call to service. Thank you. Ms. Christy and Abinett, thank you so much, Ms. Christy. Ms. Pam Few, thank you so much, Ms. Pam. Ms. Robin Wall. Thank you so much, Ms. Robin. Mr. Tracy Wall. Thank you so much. And we had a wonderful person that helped us behind the scene, Ms. Elizabeth DeRocher. She does not like to be called out in public, but I'm calling her out today, so when you see her, love all up on her. She was amazing in being able to help find curriculum that and activities that would be able to keep our students engaged, to keep them understanding God's word, and to keep them in practice with homework. We're truly appreciative for the work that she has done for the church and for our children. And so even though she's not here today, we include her in this because she is on campus, so be sure to thank her as well. We truly thank God for all of you and for the work that you have done. Church family, can we please give them a hand? At this time, we're going to call forth our candidates for baptism, starting with Mr. Graydon Barnes and his family.
Graydon, do you desire to be baptized into this faith? Graydon Barnes, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We call forward Miss Anna Catherine Bass and family.
Catherine, do you desire to be baptized into this faith? Please kneel. and a Catherine Bass. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We call forward Mr. Cullen Dozier and family.
Cullen, do you desire to be baptized into this faith?
I do.
Please kneel. Cullen Matthew Dozier, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We call for Kate and Owen Gibson and their family.
Kate, do you desire to be baptized into this faith? Please kneel. Kate Gibson, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Owen, do you desire to be baptized into this faith? Please kneel. Owen Gibson, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And while we have the Gibson family here, Mandy is actually going to be joining the church today by renewal of her faith. And I ask Mandy these questions. Do you, in the presence of God and this congregation, renew the vow and promise made at your baptism? Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins? Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Trust Him as your Savior. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you receive and profess the Christian faith contained in the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament? Then do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in the same all the days of your life as a faithful member of Christ's holy church? Will you be loyal to Spanish Fort United Methodist Church and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Welcome, in the name of Christ. And church, let's welcome her too. Amen. We need to do these questions.
At this time, we're going to ask our confirmands to please stand. We're going to ask them a series of questions, and if you all have your sheets available in front of you to answer. Confirmands, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Do you, as Christ's body, the church, to the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
Amen.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care?
With God's
help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with the community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life eternal.
Let us stand as we affirm our faith together. And together as the church, let us say what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We'll invite those confirmands that will be confirmed to come to the altar, and the parents, if you would come, stand behind them as well. We have already accomplished the baptisms in the program today. Graydon Barnes, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Anna Catherine Bass, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us all say, Amen. Emily Ann Bias, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may serve as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us all say, Amen. Amen. Addie Bolton, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us all say, Amen. Laura Catherine Garrett, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us all say, Amen. Lydia Jane Garrett, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us all say, Amen. Amen. Kate Gibson, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us all say, Amen. Owen Gibson, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, You may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us all say, amen. Call in Matthew Dozier. Remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us all say, amen. Bennett Hagmeyer, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us all say, amen. Vivian Hagmeyer, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us all say, amen. Madeline Haynes, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us all say, amen. Elise Lauderdale, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us all say, amen. Mary Tanner McKeithen, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us all say, amen. Amen. Hayden Moore, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us all say, amen. Amen. Kinley Winter, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us all say, amen. Invite the confirmands to stand, if you would, please. Mr. Bush.
As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church? And as a member of this congregation, will you do all in your power to strengthen its ministries with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness?
Let's do that a little stronger, okay? Let's say together, I will. I will. Amen.
Great. Amen. Amen.
Please, let's turn around and do a 180. If the parents would stand behind. Congregation, family who are here and friends, and members of the household of faith, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. And let us respond as a congregation. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Family of God, we are so thankful for these confirmands and their families. Let us express our appreciation to them and our thanks to God for them. Before our closing music, we want to invite the parents to return back to their pews, and the confirmands, please stay where you are. At the conclusion of the service, the confirmands will be going to the narthex with us, and we invite the congregation to come by and extend our church's welcome to them and congratulations to them this day. What a high and holy time this is. We give thanks to God. We're so proud and thankful for all of our confirmands today.
Our dedication hymn this morning is from our hymnal, number 611. Would you stand and join me as we sing? Benediction this morning. As Christ called us to worship, Christ now calls us to go forward, to serve our brothers and our sisters, our neighbors all around. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.